first dropped acid when I was 18. I was over at these people's house one night. This guy I went to school with was over there and asked me if I wanted to try some acid. I had read about it in the newspapers and heard a few friends talk about it, so I was curious. I was pretty jacked up on marijuana, so I decided to try it, and I dropped it. I don't know what I was waiting for, a flash or a rush or whatever, but I kept sitting there waiting and waiting, and nothing was happening. So I got up and then went to the dresser and put on a pair of pink capris and a green and brown blouse. I thought the colors were beautiful. So we tripped down to Market Street, and I decided to buy a hot dog. I was very hungry, and I had put mustard and ketchup and relish in the usual. And I put the hot dog up to my mouth, and somebody started screaming. I didn't know what was happening, so I looked up at my friend Terry and said, "Did you hear that? Didn't you hear someone scream?" He said, "No." I got the hot dog up to my mouth again, and I was ready to bite, and the scream got louder, and I looked down at the hot dog, and there was a face on him. Eyes, nose, a mouth. I had put the ketchup to where it looked like his hair. And he started telling me that I couldn't eat him. That he had a wife and 7 kids at home to support. And I stood there with his hot dog and asked Terry, "Do you know this hot dog is talking to me?" And he says, "Nah, let's get out of here." He thought I was just faking. And I told him, "Look at the thing, he's got a face, and he's screaming." And the guy finally looked over, and he got on the same trip that I was on. And we sat there carrying on a conversation with that hot dog. Finally, I decided I was just hallucinating, so I put it in my mouth and bit down. It screamed so loud that you could hear it all over town, so I had to throw it on the ground and step on it. I realized that I had murdered it. And I took off screaming down the street. Scared.
Hello, friends. What you've just heard in this hot dog murder story is one propaganda film made about the horrors of LSD. What you hear next on the show might also be seen as propaganda, but hopefully we can all meet in the middle and maybe learn something. I know I have.
Now it's garbage.
Just another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night. I'm Scott.
I'm Joe.
You are Joe. You're groovy. You're a groovy girl.
Oh, thanks. I think you're kind of neato, too.
Oh, thanks. Far out. Oh, did I say what this was? I should have, because this is Talking Trash.
Talking Trash.
Talking Trash, indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and the often forgotten flicks on the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if not, what is? Because we truly believe you can't review a movie without knowing what the worst is. And that's what we're here to do, right, hon?
Right.
We're here to sacrifice our eyeballs, our eardrums, and our brains.
I sacrificed all of that tonight.
For you, the people. And what are we doing today, love?
So for 5 weeks, we're going to explore five decades of legendary producer, writer, and director Roger Corman's career. And I have to say, he's a national treasure. Okay, I'm just going to put that out there. He is a national treasure. His career is so extraordinary. He has started off the careers of so many people, such as Jonathan Demme, Joe Dante, Francis Ford Coppola, Ron Howard, Martin Scorsese.
And Jack Nicholson, who said,
"There's nobody in there that he didn't, in the most important way, support. He was, you know, my main connect, my lifeblood to whatever I thought I was going to be as a person. And, you know, I hope he knows that this is not all hot air. I'm going to cry now. Not just me, who's very sentimental, but these other people also love him. Sorry."
He has 944 credits on IMDb. So that's 492 as producer, 56 as director, 45 as an actor, and 10 as writer. And so this is The Trip. That's what we just watched.
This is a 46th film.
46th directed film.
And the reason that we ended there with a Jack Nicholson quote is because he wrote this movie. Yes, Jack Nicholson, the actor, wrote this movie about taking acid. Yes, The Trip, starring Peter Fonda, Susan Strasberg, Bruce Dern, Dennis Hopper, and some cameos and some weird extras that are all famous, like Peter Bogdanovich and Dick Miller, all in the background of this crazy, crazy time that we just had. Yeah, okay, so, all right. My question always to you is, how much money did this cost?
Well, it's Roger Corman.
Yep.
Roger Corman does things on a shoestring budget. I'm going to say this movie cost $150,000 to make.
What did you say? $150,000?
$150,000.
You're so close. It was $100,000.
Oh, okay.
Now, the biggest question, the real question, how much money did this make?
I'm going to say this movie made about $30,000.
This was a huge Roger Corman hit. It made $10 million over time.
Just shut up.
Huge sales on rentals, double feature fest.
No.
It was a phenomenon.
Wow.
Yep. And it led the way to another movie that people actually remember called Easy Rider.
Well, that makes sense.
Yep. Jack Nicholson was almost in this movie. Roger Corman asked him to write the screenplay because he knew that Jack Nicholson wasn't getting a lot of work and he respected him and he thought he had a lot of great ideas. And so he's like, you know what? I want you to write this film. And he thought about putting him in the movie, but in the last moment he picked Bruce Dern because he wanted to have more of that cast that he had on another movie that he had already done about motorcycle people with Peter Fonda and Bruce Dern, Wild Angels, I believe it was called. I probably just fucked that name up. But yeah, so he wanted to get them both on the film again, so he put them in. And this is a real weird movie, because this whole month we've been doing, Joe said she wanted to pick Roger Corman films, and I said it would be really great that all 5 weeks we'd pick a new decade. So we're in the 60s, and I, for the first week, I said, well, I really want a creature feature, because nothing says the 50s like atomic testing and how there's large mutated creatures. And I said, the second week should, you know, in the 60s, I already have a viewpoint of what this should be. We originally had talked about doing another movie where we found out that that was also the 50s, because it turns out Roger Corman made at least 20 movies just in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And we're looking in the 60s. I said, you know what? I got the perfect movie, because nothing says the 60s like extreme experimental drug use.
I got to say, I feel like I need medical attention after watching that. I mean, the strobes, the flashes, my eyeballs are having a disco party.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I feel like I should give a whole bunch of information about what this movie is about, because there's not much movie to talk about here. This is not much of a plot, but basically a day in the life of someone taking acid.
Which I I'm going to state for the record, I know nothing about. Yeah. I have only dabbled in other silly things, but I have never gone as far as to take acid. And there's a reason, because I am already a paranoid person.
Nice.
You do not want me on acid. So it was, watching this was like, it definitely put me over the edge of, yay, I'm glad I never did it. Because
Well, here's a fun story, right? The rundown of lysergic acid diethylamide.
Okay.
That's LSD. That's what LSD stands for.
Okay.
So the history behind this, because it's so interesting, the history of LSD is so fascinating. It was actually first synthesized in 1938 by Albert Hofmann. It was produced from an alkaloid found in a fungus that infests grain. He did 25 tests on this fungus, and he found, you know, he's like trying to figure out a way to use the properties in it. He, on the 25th try, he found something, and that's LSD-25. So he got that 25th test. Now, what's really interesting about it is, in 1943, he accidentally absorbed a dose through his skin, and that's how he learned about its hallucinogenic properties.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was an accident, apparently. They don't know how much he was dosed with, but he went on a pretty good trip.
Wow.
Yeah, because of this, he learned about the properties. It became the interest of the psychiatry field. They started thinking they can do tests with it to help people with other problems. Mm-hmm. So in a psychiatrist named Humphrey Osmond used it to treat alcoholism with promising results. He coined the phrase psychedelics.
So he wanted to treat a disease with a mind-altering drug.
Yeah, and he had promising results. Actually helped people.
Wow, okay. Yeah,
of course, what happened next was the CIA and the Army started testing it on people and trying to see if they can create things for warfare. And also drug people and make them think what they want. They did a whole bunch of tests. And they are the reason that they finally deemed it illegal. They had a lot of bad things they did to people. There's a whole bunch out there. Go look into it because it's insane.
I mean, I know that people are different. So if one guy has a good trip, another guy could have a bad trip, and terrible things could be, could happen.
Okay. I'm looking forward to talking about this because you just said you had no idea about this. Now, I will go...
No, I mean, I know a little bit about acid from people who have...
But you didn't take it.
No, never. Yeah.
So, here I am. I am your question springboard for talking about this film, because I have done it. And I've done it multiple times, and I have no problem talking about it, because I'm actually going to be a person who is almost an advocate for it. Because as a kid... I was extremely shy, very quiet, very depressed, and eventually got, you know, able to take LSD. And I will say that it helped me. It's really odd, but it helped me being able to talk to people. It opened me up. I was able to express myself. I was able to use artistic forms better. And I started learning better.
Okay. Well, so, those are all positive things, but did you ever have a situation where you ever got hurt on it?
That's the thing, right?
Because that's the scary part.
Yeah, the thing that I have never truly understood, and I have known a lot of people who have done it. You know, I've done it with a bunch of people. I've been in groups before. Never have I encountered anything as insane as what this movie is telling us. But you hear these stories all the time, these horror stories. Now, my only thought is, while you're taking anything that's a stimulant of any kind, there's always that chance that the environment you're in or the people surrounding you can manipulate you. And we know the CIA and the Army were doing that pretty much at one point with it, trying to see what they could do and use it on people in bad ways. I think that even with alcohol, if you give someone enough alcohol and push them, they're going into a dark place. And you see that all the time. You see people be really happy drinking, going to a dance club, having fun. But if someone starts pushing them, they start getting agitated, more violent. Now, I have never witnessed that, but you hear these stories. In particular, we mentioned it on another one of our episodes, which was Invasion USA. We talked about the actor in there. Was famously had set himself on fire while taking LSD.
Yeah.
Now, I've always been baffled by what happened during that day to make him think that he should do that. Now, I guess that anything can make you black out or be blitzed enough to believe that something could happen to you. You know, I famously cannot stand hard liquor because it does not do anything for me. It just makes me feel terrible, and it makes me black out. I can't stand this stuff.
No hard so liquor for us.
When house. You're on the, when you black out, you could do terrible things. And I can see that for any kind of drug. It depends on how it's used, right? Like, now, in this movie that we're talking about, the crazy thing about this movie is this person in the movie, what we're really getting to see is kind of his journey through his psychology. Like a psychological journey through his mind.
Mm-hmm.
Like, basically, he's in a bad place, and we don't really get to know why he decides, you know what, I'm going to start doing acid?
Well, he's going through a divorce, and
but what,
it seemed like the beginning shows us that, you know, his wife shows, he's a director,
the main character.
He's a director of commercials, and his wife showed up on the set and said, hey, you know, you missed the court date today, we're supposed to sign the papers, and he's obviously not come to terms with the fact that he's going to be divorced. So he didn't want to show up, he didn't want to sign the papers, and so he's going through a little emotional problem.
What would make this guy now say, you know what, the necessary thing is I have to drop some acid.
They don't really tell us how he came to this decision, because he's already high on weed and he's been drinking. So I'm like, okay, well, let's just go for the gusto here. I mean, just take a Quaalude at this point while you're at it and... You know,
It's odd because people are telling him, and he tells a woman, says, why are you going to do it? You know, and when he goes to a friend's house. Now, this is beyond me. There's a house that's just like a drug den. Like, you know, downstairs, they have a bunch of hippies or whatever, you know, just smoking pot. I wouldn't even call them hippies. They're just people who are just chilling out, smoking pot, doing their thing. And it's kind of like that whole love nest of the 60s, the whole hippie idea vibe of it.
I mean, just to describe this house, it's absolutely crazy. It's almost like a circus, if a circus like was a house. You know, like, it's got many beautiful art things, and there's a pool inside that goes under a bridge, and it's on the second floor. And everything is just so psychedelic in this house. There's just art all over the walls, and it's got those like hanging things, like, you know, those beads hanging from every single doorway. It's just, the set piece is absolutely, it's great. It's brilliant. It makes you feel like you're in this time period, 100%.
Yes. He goes there, and because he decides that this is the next step for him, of course. But he runs into a woman who stops him in the hallway and says, like, hey, man, you know, why are you gonna trip out? And he says, well, I'm hoping it'll open me up and, you know, make me understand things better.
Okay, so let me ask you this.
You understand. This is true.
Because I have several questions.
Please. So I want to hear them all.
I don't want to sound ignorant, but I've never done LSD before. Yeah, no, I understand. When you go in, it takes like what, a half an hour to kick?
Yeah, okay. I mean, yeah. There's like a whole ride. There's like lingo for it. There's a whole bunch of like funny things that you kind of like surf it up, and it goes to a peak, okay. And then you kind of go drift down.
So I've always been under the impression, and don't ask me why. I don't know. I told you I'm very ignorant when it comes to this particular thing.
And this is like pretty much the only thing in that set. You know, like, you know, I've smoked a joint or, you know, some pot once in a while. You know, I have in the past. This is the only thing that I particularly ever found like fascinating or interesting. I've never particularly liked anything else.
Okay, well, my question is...
Which is weird. I know a lot of people would say, that's insane. I've never heard anything like that before.
Aren't you supposed to do this in, like, a controlled area, like an environment where... Like, okay, I get it. Bruce Dern was there and he was looking after him. And I get it. So he said, hey, I'll be here for the whole 8 hours or whatever.
Oh yeah, we got to talk about
that. I have a question that's crazy. I need to know.
Yeah.
Like, you're in a controlled setting, supposedly, where you can't, you know, run out and you know, run into traffic or hurt yourself or whatever.
I've never particularly known about that. Okay. Because we would walk.
I thought that places. Was like a rule of thumb. Like, if you're ever taking LSD, you should do it with a good friend you trust.
I think that's true.
That you need to stay indoors and then just lay there. Like, I thought it was kind of like you're just laying there and letting your mind trip out. Like, being on peyote or whatever, the desert, whatever.
Yeah, yeah, that's true, right? So, like...
I've seen Wayne's World.
Everybody's seen something.
Jim Morrison's out there.
Everybody's seen something that makes them believe they know exactly what this is.
Right, I'm not trying it's to sound so like funny. I'm not trying to sound like an idiot. I'm just saying that, like...
Then say you are.
I feel like... It's supposed to be, you're supposed to be lying down and then just your eyes are supposed to be at the ceiling and things are just happening in your mind.
Not necessarily, but that is kind of true in a sense. Like, it would be crazy. So when I particularly had done it, you would plan out the day because it can be a long thing depending on what kind you're getting.
Okay, so depending on what kind. Now, can you explain that, please? What do you mean kind?
There are... At least when I was young, there were a lot of multiple versions of it. Now, by the way, I should say this. We've been together for a very long time, and I have never touched any of this stuff while we've been together. This was only like, for me, this was like high school stuff, you know?
Oh, yeah. I wouldn't be letting you touch all that shit.
I'm just saying that there was a time for it. It was when I was young.
And, yeah, you were like 17.
Yeah. Yeah, and... Even younger. So,
well, I know that it comes in liquid form, and then you put it on paper.
So what
and
you would,
put it on your tongue.
Yeah, what you would buy, there would be this sheet of paper that gets split up into what they call tabs, right? And so they soak it in the acid, and then they cut it up, and they sell a multiple. So one sheet of this paper can make like a lot of little tabs, and everybody just sticks one on their tongue. And you just let it dissolve into your tongue. And they would have different kinds, and they would say potency. But then there's also other kinds that if you find somebody who had the liquid form, they would do stuff like sugar cubes. They would take a sugar cube and soak it in it, so you'd even have more.
Sugar cubes are huge.
Yeah, you would just let it melt in your mouth.
That means that you'll be, what, 2 days on this thing?
That's what they say.
Oh, hell no.
They say that, like, the 8 to 20 hours... Possibly. Usually 12 hours or 8 hours.
Okay.
Is being the most typical.
What the hell are you doing? Didn't you go to school back then? You don't have 20 hours to sit there and trip out.
So you would plan your whole day around this. It would be a whole thing where you were like, oh, I'm going to spend the night at my friend's house. And we are going to take it at school. And then it is going to hit while we're coming home, and then the night is when the peak is and you're having the biggest moment. So in this movie, what's crazy is he starts tripping almost instantaneously. He starts seeing visions, and he also has what I would say is a guardian, a person who's watching this all occur, and he's not doing it.
So yeah, Bruce Dern
is just a dude in a suit jacket and a turtleneck.
Okay.
And he is just on board for watching this guy's trip.
No, I have an issue with this.
I don't know who they are. Who are they? Like, what is their? They're just friends. But who are they in relation? Is this guy being paid to be his babysitter for the day?
No, he said he was your friend. I'm your friend. He said it like 100 times. Yeah.
Why wouldn't they trip together? Why wouldn't they go on an adventure together?
Maybe Bruce Dern believes that he wouldn't be able to watch him successfully if he was also on a trip.
Well, that's the funniest part to me, because the idea that he needs like a tour guide just to babysit him.
Yeah, see, that's because this is his first time. They say it, his first time on a trip. But I don't care. I don't care who you are. And I love you. We've been together a long time and we're best friends. And I am not going to devote 20 hours to sit there watching your ass while you're tripping out. No. I ain't got that kind of time. Okay.
Well, you wouldn't want to do that. You would want to do it with a group setting or a bunch of friends or people that you're really close with. And you're going to bond in this situation.
Now, is that true? Okay. So do you bond for real?
Yes.
Is everybody there just stripping naked and dancing around campfires? Because this is the idea I have in my head.
In fact, the sexuality stuff is a little confusing to me. Maybe it's depending on who the person is mentally, of how this is going to work for them. Maybe some people, because what it really seems to do for a lot of people, and if you read into like trials and people used to test it on patients that needed help, they said that it basically freed you up from this idea. Like, it basically made you open up to the world in a way where you'll be more toward yourself, more self-absorbed. You would kind of free yourself from that and kind of like just experience everything around you and see things better.
Okay.
Like, you know, if you're depressed and you did this with friends and you like get this vibe of the world, you kind of feel things. And you start, when you come out of this, you say, I kind of feel like I see the world differently. And it's not in a bad way. It's in a good way.
I wish I could talk in Technicolor, or let you see. Can you? Did you say you can see it?
No, I can't quite see it. Tell me about it.
It's. I can tell you about it. If you can't see it, then you'll just never know it. I feel sorry for you.
But I can see that maybe if you did it with a group of people and one of those people were an asshole, they could use it and torture you. Why you kind of want to do it with you know, that group in this movie. There's so this house, it's very hard to understand whose house this is and who owns it in the movie, because downstairs we have a young Dennis Hopper who seems to smoke pot in leather pants. And he's got a circle of couches downstairs where everybody's just tripping out and smoking pot. And I was like, come on, that's where you want to go and trip.
Well,
that environment is going to be peaceful.
I was thinking about that too. All of these people are lying down on pillows on the floor, you know, like a harem. And they're all high as a kite. And, you know, I guess back in the 60s, they just had these kind of parties where everyone was just laying around wasted and whatever.
And I didn't get to have... When you're like a 16, 17-year-old kid and you are doing this stuff, especially in the 90s or whatever it is, we didn't have like this house or, you know, in this movie, we didn't have the nightclub that is the discotheque from hell. I mean, I can only imagine what taking something like that would do in that setting.
Mm-hmm.
Either it's the best thing you ever did, or it's so overwhelming that your mind's going to blow up.
Yeah, see, that's the way I think. Like, I feel like everyone's different that takes acid, because you have a different mindset, you have a different personality. Everyone is different. So I can see, like, if someone like me would have those effects where he, when I say he, I mean Peter Fonda, he's on the trip here. If I had those effects where, like, I was just seeing kaleidoscopes and naked people painted up dancing and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that would work for me for maybe 10 minutes. And then I would be like, okay, I'm done dancing.
Well, that's the thing.
I can't do this.
Well, you know, when you were younger and you smoked pot or whatever, and time would go away. Mm-hmm. And you would be laughing. You'd be like, oh, time's gone. How long has it been? Sometimes it felt like it was like 3 hours and was only 10 minutes, or vice versa, mm-hmm. where you were sitting somewhere and like 4 hours had gone by and you're like, how the hell did I do that? Yeah. It's the same thing here. When you don't focus on anything, all that stuff goes away and time flies by so quickly you don't even realize it.
It's true. When you and I smoked, we were sitting on the couch watching a movie and I'm like, did we just watch a movie?
The last time I ever did it, ever smoked pot, it was awful. Oh, it was like I went into the room to get a movie, and I just I thought it was in there for 5 days. I came out and I go, how long have I been in there? And you said, like, 5 minutes. And I was like, holy shit. Like, what the? I hate this. I hate this. And yeah, we should also laugh about, because we're just going on a drug talk here. This is so funny. But one of the other funny things was we tried a gummy, which I know has become more popular to help people out. But we also hated it. We just had a terrible experience.
Well, we had...
I didn't. You did.
I mean, I had a terrible experience because I couldn't get up off the damn couch. Like, I sat on the couch and we put on a movie and we had just eaten Dandy Donuts. So my belly was full and then I felt it hit and I was like, I don't think I can get up. And I'm texting people. I'm like, should I go to the hospital?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You started getting a headache. Well, I think
got
a lot of
headache. I'm like, this ain't right.
I think the problem was that you got hit by paranoia.
Yes. And that's what I'm saying, that about the people who are different. Like me, I don't smoke pot because, you know, I'm just already just a freaking jittery mess.
Yeah, I can't believe jittery. You ever did.
I would say I'm high strung a little bit, you know, like a little high strung. I get a little antsy. And I can't work through that. I can't.
Yeah,
it's not my thing.
It always shocks me because you, just the fact that you ever did always interests me because you get wrapped up in your own head, and yeah. I don't know if that's always the best setting for something like that.
It also has to do with being much younger too, like. You know,
I guess you were more freeing. Now you're like thinking things over.
Yeah, and now I'm an adult and I have to be adulting and I have to do adult like things. And so, you know, we got stresses, we got life stresses and we got bullshit. And now it's like, okay, I don't need anything amplifying my stress. I'll tell you.
Yeah.
I don't need. All right.
I know a lot of people who are stressed need this medical marijuana. It'll help them. And I've known a lot of people who have said this stuff is great.
I will tell you, yes, my friend has Crohn's disease and she can't sleep. She has terrible pains and stuff, and she helps her.
I know somebody who is so stressed every day. I tell her all the time, you need to go get this card. There's ones just for that. You need to rest and relax. And I think that in this movie, the LSD idea in itself, I always tell people, I'm like, that is basically why I ever did it, you know? And then once you do it and you feel like that, you feel like I want to feel this again. I want to explore that more of myself. And I think that's amazing. But this movie, the reason I am so glad we get to bullshit about this because it's so wild, is that in this movie, what happens to him is more, I think, it's so hard to understand what this movie wants to be. Because now, Sean, sure, you're going to make a movie to make people feel like this is what acid feels like, or this is what this drug feels like and will do to you. Now, is it a pro movie or an anti movie? It's very hard to understand.
It depends on who you are. It depends. Because when I'm sitting there watching this film, there was nothing but strobe effects. Crazy, I guess, artsy, like, lighting happening.
Yeah. That's the funny thing. That's what I wanted to get at. Because the first stuff that happens to him is the parts where I'm like, who the fuck thought this was a thing? Like, what? He literally has visions. Like, he'll be sitting there and he'll be talking about how great everything feels. And I'm like, that is real. Like, I think he finds an orange and he thinks it's the sun. And he's like, holy crap, I'm holding the sun in my hand. And he's looking out at the sky and he's like, it's so beautiful. Everything is great. And I can hear everything.
You're really into some beautiful stuff, man. Just let it run on.
Look at that. Feel that?
The weight?
No. The life, man. Yeah. It's just, it's blowing off it like energy. Oh, it's all over my hands. It just runs down my arm. I never saw that before. Never saw this before.
And it's like, that is perfect. But the moment he walks through another doorway, can we start getting like scenes? that are disjointed, weird journey dreams of some sort.
Yeah.
Like, he's being chased by the ring wraiths from, like, Lord of the Rings. It's like, and he also walks into, like, there's a whole bunch of borrowed scenes from movies. There, it looks like he's in Seventh Seal, I believe.
Oh, Seventh
Seal. And there's, like, we see that. We see death on the side of a thing. There's, like, a pale Uncle Fester-looking guy, but, of course, this is in color.
I call him Count Orlok.
Count Orlok. Yeah. He's walking through these scenes, and you're like, what the? Who thought? Why is this a thing? It would be more about him seeing, like, I think that Fear and Loathing gets it way better than, like, Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas is a movie that really kind of nails drug use.
Yeah, you know, I was going to actually bring that up to you. I'm glad you brought it up, because I've seen that movie multiple times, and I feel like I already get that that is a pretty accurate depiction of what being on drugs is like.
Yes.
But he was taking more than just LSD. Oh,
he was on everything.
What's his name again? Dr.
Hunter S. Thompson.
No, Dr.
Gonzo?
Dr. Gonzo.
Okay.
You know. That's Benicio del Toro.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's his lawyer.
Yeah,
the apparently. Lawyer. It's very sketchy on how much of it's real and how much of it isn't.
Oh my God. But, you know, whatever. So yeah. Whatever was going on in that movie kind of gave me an idea of, like, oh, okay, I never need to take these kind of drugs. I'm good. I mean, it was just crazy stuff. So, but the things that are happening to Peter Fonda in this movie, I'm actually very baffled by it too, because Roger Corman he's said himself, I had to take acid because I can't make a movie.
Yeah,
I have
this whole quote here, yeah.
Yeah, about taking acid if I never did it myself. So he took acid, and also the three of them, Peter Fonda and Bruce Dern and Jack Nicholson, all took acid together. So I guess they could prepare for this, I guess. I don't know.
Including me had taken LSD. I, as a conscientious director, the rest of them just for the experience. And the problem was, my trip was wonderful. And if we made the picture around my trip, it would have been propaganda for LSD. But Jack Nicholson, who was a good friend of mine, whose acting career wasn't going very well, was a good writer. So I knew Jack knew LSD, so Jack wrote the script. And it was, and we all had these meetings, and everybody was throwing in ideas. And finally I said, whose trip is this? And we finally said it was everybody's trip.
I mean, I get it. You're doing important research, but I feel like some of these scenes, I know that they're in his own head, and like I said, everybody probably has their own trip, but it goes from one extreme to the other. So that's one of my questions for you. Did you ever have those moments you went from one extreme to the other, where you were in ultimate bliss and ultimate joy, and then you went to freaky scary where you're like in Dracula's castle?
Oh, that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. There is a scene in this movie where he's suddenly at the Scooby-Doo mansion from the opening of the theme. And I was like, what is this? Like,
yeah.
And I know that this is where I was talking about. It's metaphorical. Oh, this is all metaphorical idea of what's happening in his head, because the movie's really truly about him realizing. And I think that this is actually realistic. It's him understanding who he is, what the mistakes are, the lie that he's living, and him coming to terms with, like, what is real about me. And I feel like, yeah, that metaphysical, like, that whole questionnaire about yourself is a part of that taking it. And it does make you, like, question and free up. But the idea of just suddenly, like, you're, oh, I'm so happy and I see the sun, to, holy shit, ring wraiths are chasing me. Now, I have had experiences of, like, what is that? What happened just now? Or, like, oh my God, do you see that thing the way I see it to other people? Never have I walked into a room and I was suddenly at a waterfall with naked women walking around or whatever. And I feel like that's one of the weird things, is they kind of glamorized it through sex, when it's not really about that. It's mostly shedding who you are.
So you never really had those moments of, like, extreme fear and then extreme bliss, like up and down. Because if I was in that scenario, I don't know what I'd do. I mean, that's fucked up, you know?
I guess it has to do with who you're with and what you're doing. And like your mindset.
Well, are you still like, are you lucid to what's happening around you? Or do you just see things?
Yeah, no. A lot of the time, hallucinations aren't a part of it. Like, it's not, sometimes it's not that. Sometimes it's trails, which is when you move your hand, you'll have like, you'll see your hand moving in slow motion, like a rainbow. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Or like a blur around you.
But if I was sitting right in front of you as I am now and you were on LSD, would you see me?
Yeah.
Or would you see like, you know, a panda bear or something?
No, I mean, if you see a panda bear talking to you, you're having an amazing trip. Like, I mean, that's next level. I mean, it's possible. I've seen things, like crazy things, but not like anything like that amazing. It's usually other forms, audio, you know, you're hearing things a little different or seeing things different. Each thing is like a different experience.
Okay, so just, I mean, I'm not trying to be funny or cute here.
No, I love joking around about it. I love talking about it. I think it's fascinating. I think people should know about it. It is a really interesting thing.
I've never asked you these questions before.
I know, that's why we're doing
it. And we've been together a long time, but I have a question about, like, so if you were on acid and you wanted to make yourself some scrambled eggs,
yeah,
would that be an experience where you'd actually be looking at scrambled eggs, or would the scrambled eggs be dancing a jig or singing a song to you as you're cooking them?
It's never occurred to me, but making food could be a nightmare. Because, one, you're not hungry. You don't even think about it like that.
So it doesn't work where, like, you're smoking pot and you get the munchies. It's...
No, yeah, it doesn't.
You don't have that.
They actually mention that, and it's kind of correct in the movie. They kind of say, like, oh, he says, I'm starving. And he's like, that'll go away. It won't be about that, because you'll be feeling other things. Like, you'll feel your every sensation of your hands and every... It's crazy. So you wouldn't even think about eating, although... You do eat, and it's like mind-blowing. Like, what is this? What is this taste? What is this thing?
Okay. Well, I know this feels like an interview, but I have many questions.
I think it's fascinating. That's why I wanted to watch. I was like laughing about it. Like, I want you to ask me straight up, how crazy is some of this stuff? Now, has somebody maybe had this experience? Maybe.
Well, I mean, there are what they call bad trips. Okay, so have you ever had a bad trip?
No. No,
now, a bad trip would specify, like, okay, that would fall into a category of, like, a bad trip would be, like, hurting yourself or seeing monsters or like, a monster eating you or something like
being
that.
Scared and eating people that hold you down or whatever.
Okay, so do you think that people who have bad trips, and I'm using air quotes, because not everyone has bad trips, but if it was a bad trip, then... Do you think that those people have a different mindset going into this than someone who's excited about it? You know, like if you're,
I think there's always going to be that fear, like, though, walking into anything, right?
Or if like you have depression or you have self-loathing or some kind of, you know, issue with mental health and you go into this, would it be automatically bad or would it actually?
Well, I had that experience. I suffer from depression and it was worse when I was a kid. So doing this, I didn't go in negative at all. I actually was hoping to experience something a little better to make things make sense. And it did. And I felt like it did. Did it fix everything? Absolutely not. But do I think that maybe doctors could use something like this to actually help and heal somebody? I think so.
Okay,
I think it's a possibility.
I feel like you would definitely need to be in a controlled, safe environment, because I have heard stories of people, you know, walking through plate glass doors.
They mentioned something like that in this movie, too.
Or, you know, jumping off roofs or things like that when they're on LSD. So,
and I'm sure that any of that's possible.
I mean, it's possible with drinking alcohol.
And
it's possible
pot.
With anything. But I'm just saying, like, I just want to know. I'm very, very curious to know about what kind of person you'd have to be to have a bad trip, or what's going on in your head. Not necessarily what kind of person you'd have to be, but what's going on in your head going into this.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it definitely has a play. But I think what's even bigger is what you experience during it. Now, one of the things that I loved about it was I would watch movies. And I loved movies since I was a kid, but the idea of watching it under the influence of that made movies better to me, bigger, better, everything. I understood movies better, and I started learning more about movies. And after I did all that, movies became more and more of a passion of mine.
Did you watch Dr. Strangelove?
Hell no, but I will tell you the ones I have watched. I went to the theater. Now, we're going to, in the future, because I have a movie that you have not seen. I will we're going to watch it on this podcast. You have not seen it. I have Under the Influence of This, and I have not seen it since. But when I do that episode, I'm going to reveal it to you.
Okay.
And it is mind-blowing. I watched it.
So we're doing this. We're going to do that on the podcast.
Yeah, sometime on the podcast, I'm definitely going to spring it on you, and I'm just going to reveal what.
Well, you got to give me some time to recover from the situation that I'm in right now.
Well, no, yeah,
my eyeballs are circling themselves.
But I have watched some movies that you talk about watching movies now. Like, there's the extremes, right? You could watch something that makes you, holy crap! Like, it just makes everything better. I watched The Lion King in the theater. And with it, and talk about just being in bliss. Wow. Like, I'm with the animals. That's all you feel the whole time.
Oh, so you were in Hakuna Matata.
Oh, no everything. Worries. That when that bird comes out, when Zazu is flying in the beginning with the song and everything, it's like, holy shit, this is the best thing that's ever happened to me in my world. But I have also watched The Dark Crystal.
Oh.
Now, talk about the opposite effect of being just, holy crap, what is this movie?
Yeah, I mean, that was our childhood. So it came out a long time ago when, of course, Jim Henson, God love him, it was dark. Yeah, that was very, very grim.
And you have to be pressed to tell me that he wasn't under the influence while creating that. Because some of these movies I have seen, I'm like, this is definite that these people were on something like this to come up with some of these ideas, this visuals, this whole concept. It is so extreme.
It's possible. We'll never know. Jim Henson, I know,
but you know what I'm saying.
You know, he's a godlike creature in my world, so.
But, my point was that it's that idea of experiencing art in the way where you feel the art. Like, it's so weird. But this movie, it has this idea that it is more about exploring that his guilt. So the movie really is less about LSD in the sense that it is the whole plot. It is that. It's just, you really just follow a guy for an hour and 20 minutes tripping.
I don't want to use this term, but it's mind blowing because I want to tell you, for this time period, though, Roger Corman did a great job of the visuals and the crazy lighting. And, I mean, the strobe effects did get to me after a bit. I got a headache.
There's a part that's 15 minutes of a band playing.
And girls painted up with their bodies painted.
Dancing and flashing.
Dancing like go-go dancers. And everyone's just partying and just flailing around. And this is 15 minutes long. And I was like, okay, my head is just swimming right now. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah. And I think it's that kind of thing that that I feel like I'm not sure what they're going for. And a lot of this is padding time. Like just trying to, you know, like make a full-length movie out of nothing. There's no real premise here.
No, there's not.
It's an interesting idea if they were going to explore him coming to grips with who he is. And I think that the movie's kind of saying that. Like, the whole idea of the movie is that he does a job that he feels guilty about because he feels like a liar. But he spent most of his time doing that job and neglecting his wife. His wife fell into the arms of another man because of this, and he feels extreme guilt and sadness about it. But he covers it up. So the acid in the movie helps him realize this, and he comes to grips with it. And there's a whole bunch of weird scenes of him on trial and him seeing the woman, but it's not exactly telling you what it is. It's just showing you he's being chased by his demons. He's running from them. Yeah,
it's multiple scenes of there's no rhyme or reason to any of it. It's just complete and utter chaos.
Yeah.
Chaos.
There's a few scenes in particular I thought, okay, they kind of nailed it. At one point, he finally runs out. Now, he has a scene, you know, like he's in this room and he can't figure out where he is. And he feels like he spiritually has left the world. And I'm like, okay, this, I can see this being realistic. And what he does, it uses the moment when Bruce Dern goes out of the room to get him something to drink. He runs out. And now, when he runs out, I would say that that is the most realistic aspect.
See, because that's what bothers me. It's very realistic, so that's something that would happen to someone that's taking acid. He would just run down the street and get hit by a car. You know?
Yeah, but like you said, you could do something like that on anything. Well, that's true. But in particular, I don't think it's the running out, but it's the journey of it, like going and experiencing things. Like, what is everything? So he goes to a laundromat and just looks at laundry stuff and tries to talk to a woman there. That, to me, was the most realistic aspect of it.
Yeah, it was very random.
And he's just like, I want to get to know you. He's saying things off the top of his head because he's being genuine. Like, mm-hmm. I'm so fascinated. How does everything work? And he's seeing, like, the inner workings virtually. Mm-hmm. That feels real more so than him flashing to these weird worlds. But I understand that's the plot. And at the end of the day, the end of the movie is very weird in the sense that he basically, his entire existence, he just comes to the idea of, oh, I can move on and be up with another woman.
Yeah.
And I'm like, after did he learn that, anything? It's not real. Yeah. And at the end, he's like, I think I love you. And she's like, yeah, you think you love everybody right now.
Did you find what you were looking for? The inside?
Yeah. I think I... like I love you.
And everybody else.
Yeah, and everybody else.
It's easy now. Wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I'll think about that tomorrow.
You know, and that's the end of the movie.
Yeah, so he just slept with some woman, and it, I guess the whole entire movie is just he was trying to escape the way he felt about, I guess, having to go through his divorce. And then at the end, everything just came together. Like, he was like, okay, I'm good.
Which makes sense because he goes on the journey and the thing, but it leaves an unsatisfying movie.
There wasn't really a movie.
There's no movie here. There's no movie here. It's basically a journey of a man realizing what he is and who he is with the idea of acid on top of it, playing off of the current fears. Now, I've said this before, but Roger Corman was a genius at reading the audience,
mm-hmm.
because the audience is one, either extremely like interested in the idea of what LSD would do to somebody, or B, someone who is taking LSD that wants to experience it on the screen. And he capitalized on that heavily, and it was brilliant marketing on his part, nailing it at the right moment, you know, and you can see it did well for him. But as a movie goes, this is an experimental, quick thing that didn't need to be a thing at all.
Yeah, if you've never taken acid, you're kind of just like, all right, the strobing effects are literally destroying every brain cell I've got.
Yeah.
And although the set pieces were beautiful in this, and, you know, it's cool to see these dudes, you know, all together, Dennis Hopper just shirtless and his leather pants the whole time was just funny.
Yeah.
He was just smoking weed. I mean, he didn't even really have any lines to learn. It was just, he was being himself.
Jack and I had worked together on, he was a great writer, Jack yeah. was, and is a great writer, but he was a terrific writer. And he had written a movie that Peter Fonda and I did called The Trip, which is the first time
I know that one, yeah.
Roger Corman directed it. And I went out and did second unit. It was the first time I directed.
I thought that Roger Corman did a very beautiful job with the artistic
the movie looks good.
It was very artistic. It was, I mean, there's a scene where, you know, we both talked about how the woman in, you know, Peter Fonda was having the trip, and the woman he was looking at opened her mouth, and
they had those cool lights that looked like it was things coming out of their mouths.
Yeah, like there was lights all over their bodies that gave the swirling effect like the Twilight Zone, you know, like the it was just amazingly beautiful to look at, to see the, you know, the art and the colors and the way he positioned everything. Like even the scene where he was making love to the woman, there was lights all over them and patterns of lights all over them, and it strategically covered every body part and stuff, but it also made it look very beautiful and tasteful, and it was gorgeous.
Yeah.
So
of all the Corman movies I've seen, this and the X, the Man with X-Ray Eyes in particular, look the best.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had a vision of style that he seemed to, like, a lot of his movies were very rushed. Like I mentioned before, in 57 in particular, he pushed out like 20 movies.
Mm-hmm.
He made so many movies so quick on a cheap budget that he wasn't really trying to do any style or anything in particular. But those two movies, this one and that, and X, they both seem very thought out, like visually. And I'm kind of impressed by his ideas visually, and even the film itself looks really good, like high grade color and
mm-hmm.
Very smart like that. But is it a movie?
It's not really
like,
a
is
movie
it a thing.
That's
yeah.
why we're just basically just speaking of our personal experiences, pretty much, because there's not really a lot to break down in this. It's pretty much just Peter Fonda takes acid. It's crazy, psychedelic lighting, all sorts of crazy scenes just happening out of nowhere. No rhyme or reason to any of it.
Which makes sense if that's what he was going. I will say this. If he's going for, I want to see if I can replicate a drug experience while also making a movie trying to tackle a story within a man's mind.
Mm-hmm.
He gets it done. But I feel like it really needed a finalization with him at least signing the papers or talking to his wife one more time. Maybe just a moment of, you know, that. But I know at the end, it was their way of saying that it's not truly fixed, but he's feeling a little more at peace with himself. I think that's what that ending goes for. I've heard that people, they were forced to edit certain parts of the movie. And I heard that they added a glass shattering thing at the end of it in certain cuts.
Hmm.
I think that's really strange. But I want to know, and I would love to know if someone did acid while watching this movie and how bad of an experience that might have been.
Hmm.
Or is it almost like a comical? Like, what was it? Someone like Cheech and Chong, like getting stoned and seeing something that is supposed to be the experience where they're laughing at it. Like, that's so silly.
I mean, yeah, I don't know. Four of them all took acid before making this movie. So I feel like they would have to share their experiences. But it just seems like this is just the experience of one. So whose experience is this?
Oh, nobody. They just came up with an idea.
You think so?
Yeah, I don't believe I don't believe that they were married at the time.
Hmm.
I think they just used that as a concept. I feel like, unfortunately, because it's written by a man, the thing that men always go for is some kind of sexuality. The sexuality seems to be such an important thing when a man writes, and I never understood, but I understand the male ego.
Yeah.
You know, and I found that fascinating because I've never been one to particularly like, oh, you know, sex, especially when I was young and I was doing these things, it wasn't the biggest thing. Of course I'd be attracted to women or whatever, or attracted to, you know, some people are attracted to what, you know, any sex or whatever. I don't know how much of it in those days that was a big thing to me,
mm-hmm.
you know? So maybe when you're older and you're like coming off a divorce and that's what's in your mind and you do something like this, maybe that journey mm-hmm. is completely affected by that older male ego. Who knows?
Right.
There's a lot of using sexuality in this tripping idea in this movie, which is kind of jarring and bizarre. We actually couldn't tell two actresses apart.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were like, who's who? Hair. I know this woman doesn't look like that other woman, but who is this woman? And I think I got to the point where I was like, who gives a shit? And we're just going to see flashes of them having sex with weird visuals flying all over. And I will also point this out, in the last 10, 20 minutes of this movie, we actually rewatched the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
Again.
They showed us, what he had just gone through.
Yeah. Like,
but
oh,
we
thanks.
Just watched it. Yeah, so I'm like, okay, we don't need all this. We just watched this.
In flash form, too. And it's like, holy crap, an hour in flash form.
Yeah, my eyeballs are done.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I'm going to look away now because I can. This is virtually my time to go to the bathroom or get popcorn in the movie theater. I can't imagine anybody in the movie theater being like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a lot of this in Easy Rider as well. In Easy Rider, there's a lot of drug scenes.
Yes, but I feel like that was more of a coherent, cohesive film.
Kind of, yeah, yeah.
I mean, this is just, chaos. It was just pure chaos, this movie. An hour and 20 minutes worth of it.
Yeah.
Well, what would you give this movie if you had to rate it?
Yeah, are we going to say this isn't the worst movie ever made still?
No, it's not. It's because, one man's journey from Milan to Minsk. Sorry.
I love that so much.
I was watching Seinfeld today.
Perfect, perfect. I'm giving this, oddly enough, I feel like I want to give this a higher review than I would normally.
We have to say why. What are you going to say? A 6?
No, hell no.
Okay.
No way. It's not at that tipping point, but it's right on the needle. I was thinking about a 5. But I think that, because I think that, you know, it did exactly what it was trying to do. It might not be like the best thing you ever watched, but I also wasn't like, this is the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. So...
Well, I mean, I'm going into this as a movie lover.
Yes.
Not as someone who's never done acid or wants to do acid or has never, you know.
I have a question for you then, because you're just about to say that, and I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to say, because of that, I'm even more fascinated. Do you feel like you understood some of the experience?
I guess I would say that I understood that I'd never want to be part of that world. Never. It just does not appeal to me. I can look at you and we can, like, you know, lay next to each other and you can stroke my face and we can talk to each other. And that is more of an engrossing, endearing experience than I could have on acid.
Come on, Joe. I'm going to put out some coloring books, some crayons. We're going to put on King Crimson. We're just going to sit there and color. I guarantee you're going to have a ball.
I'll start seeing visions of Nosferatu. Okay, I can't. No. I'll start
Nosferatu.
Having...
Nosferatu.
Yeah.
No. All right, so you didn't watch it. You knew enough that you're saying that you saw the movie and you're like, okay, I understand it a little bit.
Yes.
But I also do... It makes me more so not want to do it.
Yes. Yeah. And it also gave me a raging headache because of the visuals.
Yeah.
Which I also thought at the same time were very beautiful.
Isn't that odd? Yeah, it's odd.
I'm having a hard time with this one. I'm as a movie, it's very incoherent. It's just crazy. It's all over the place. I'm going to give this a 4.
Okay.
I thought that he did a great job directing it. I don't really think there was any special acting going on. I think that everyone was just whatever. But he did a great job directing this. That's why I'm giving it a 4. And there were some really cool visuals.
It's an interesting. It's an interesting experiment. We just talked on the end of the year, last year's end of the year list with the worst movies of the year we did. And you said Skinamarink. And I was talking about how that is an experimental film. That's like the beginning of an idea that might grow into something better one day, like found footage films and stuff like that. And I feel like watching this movie feels almost like that, where I was watching this movie going, now versus Skinamarink, I can understand why you would loathe that. But this movie, I was like, okay, this is kind of doing the same thing. Like, what if we did an entire visual of what it's like to be on a drug? And it's like, okay. It did it. And that's why I feel like I want to give it a 5.
Okay.
Because doing what it did, and it's doing it decent enough.
Well, because...
But...
Sorry to interrupt, but you were also a person that has taken LSD before. So you understand these visuals. And
yeah.
These...
But that's the funny part is I found most of this movie laughable in the sense that it's so heightened. That's why it made me interested in who is this for? Because is this a movie to tell people not to do it? Or is this a movie to tell people to do it? And that's where I came out going, maybe this is a four as well, because I did find him randomly running in his puffy shirt with the ring wraiths. I found that laughable. I was like, what is this? I do understand that maybe you would go somewhere in your mind a little bit while you're sitting still. And you know, another thing that made me laugh too in the opening, this, the first thing they do is they put a sleeping mask on his eyes.
That was another thing I was going to ask you about, because we don't talk during the movie, but I wanted to ask you, like, see, that's something that I visualize. Like, you're just laying there and you know, you got like,
I thought that was fascinating. I was like, wow, what would that do?
Yeah.
But wouldn't it be unhealthy to reveal the world to a person after they're already high into it? You know, like, okay, so they're playing, you know, when you close your eyes, sometimes you already see lines and lights. You know, there's a whole thing where your eyes are adjusting to the dark of your eyelids closing, right? And you see things like, you know, this is just like blinking or lights or flashy things, or, you know, like that. That's a normal thing that happens to your eyes. And I was like, well, what would that be if you were even more heightened? Why? But also, is that unsafe? That seems very oddly bad to do, to not have someone, to have someone just pop into the world while they're already high. And I kept laughing about it. I'm like, that's fascinating.
I'm 100% opposed to the whole LSD trip. Yeah, I am not on board for it.
It's interesting. I'm so intrigued by the idea that someone thought about it and tried to use it to help people. And I wonder, is it another one of those things like marijuana is, where we know there's benefits and it can help people, and they just for so long denied it. And instead, here we are on prescription drugs, so heavily trying to mask things that maybe marijuana or LSD at one point could have helped. And it's kind of like insane to me.
It's working for a lot of people. I mean, look at Willie Nelson. He's about 287 years old and he's kicking.
Yeah.
He's still on tour.
Bob Dylan and Keith Richards are still alive. So, I mean, something's up. Right? Bob Dylan and Keith Richards?
Yeah. Like,
that's insane. God. So, I mean, they're feeling like there is something to it. And I'm always wondering what ifs, like what if this was something they focused on, they found, you know, they experimented on enough to have it a safe environment and help people. And what could that world have been if we actually use things properly instead of always as a weapon?
Yeah, true.
Or, you know, and that sucks. You know, you hear about the bad trips and you wonder how many of those things are even heightened because you'll have someone in ready, you know, whatever. And I told you, and I've said this before, I've had worse effects on hard liquor than I have on acid. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of mind-blowing if you think about it in those terminologies. So, I mean, I'm always so interested in it.
This and is why I love we drink it. IPAs.
I'm happier for it now. I do enjoy my beer. But
I mean, he accomplished what he set out to do, I think. Like I said, I'm giving this movie a 4. You're going to give it a 5?
I think I'm going to head toward the 4 as well.
The 4? Okay. Well, I could not find any 10-star reviews, so...
It's a shock.
My segment here of why we can't have nice things is basically just going to be a 1-star review that I found. And this is, "Glad I was never a hippie. This is a film where the conflicting intents of the creative agents behind it really jar the viewer's sensibilities. Fonda, Hopper, and Nicholson wanted to make an arty film favorably depicting an acid trip. They would explore this more fully and more maturely in Easy Rider. Roger Corman wanted to make a flat-out exploitation film, pure and simple. The sex scenes are the best he ever did. Montage editor Dennis Jacob was given free rein and bars heavily from the work of underground filmmaker Kenneth Anger. It says, you can't get three more opposed aesthetics at work, and this film is the result."
That's a fascinating, I mean, he's well-versed. He knows exactly what he's talking about in the references, and that's great. And I think he nails that. It's almost selling, but I think that he also kind of seems like he has a little bit of praise, even if he doesn't want to, which means that the review should be a little higher, but... that's at the end of the day, he's kind of right. I mean, this is more of capitalizing on that capitalizing on the whole idea of doing the drugs. Of course.
Yeah.
And we said that, and he's a genius at marketing.
He is. Corman. Yes.
But yeah, as much as I do agree, I do see a little bit here that is inventive and unusual and unique to at least prop it up.
Mm-hmm. So I'm on board with the four because of the visuals and the directing. But other than that, it didn't feel like a film.
So yeah.
That's what we're going with.
I love that this became more of a, exploring my past experiences with it and also talking about it. I would love someone, hey, you listen to this and say, I did have a bad trip or whatever. And I did have something like the ring race chasing me, the ring race. You know what? I want to know about it. Please write me on Instagram at the Just Another Movie Night. I would love to hear it.
I would love it. I would love to hear it too. So
yeah,
put me in as a collaborator.
I just want to hear about it because I've always found this fascinating. This whole conversation is fascinating. The whole topic, the whole idea of doing these things is interesting. And I also think it's really good to share experiences with each other. I think that you can only learn from the conversations. And if anything, hey, this movie gave us a conversation, at least about doing these crazy stuff. Yeah,
like we said, we've been together a long time, and I've never really asked you questions about that. Because I was like, high school shit, high school was how long ago?
Yeah.
Everyone acted like a damn fool in high school. Everyone experimented in high school.
Am I allowed to tell you the story of the first time and how it should have been a bad trip? Or is that too much?
Let's save that for another time. I'm sure we'll be watching more LSD-related movies.
I don't think so. I don't think this will ever be talked about again. But all right. We'll just end it. I'm not going to do it.
Let's not put too much of your personal self out there. I mean, you still have a reputation to uphold.
As a dummy, I was once quiet, and now I can't stop talking at all about movies. Oh, God. All right. You know what? We're out. Let's run. Next week, we're doing the 70s. Roger Corman in the 70s.
I can't wait because you know how much I love the 70s wardrobe.
And I can only imagine they'll unfortunately be raping it because the 70s just could not stop.
Well, if they're wearing turtlenecks, you can count on them being bad guys.
I'm going to guess, and tell me if I'm wrong here. Isn't it going to be like a post-apocalyptic world of rape and desert and like and women and like bondage gear?
Well, which one did we pick?
That's the 70s. That's the 70s in a nutshell.
Oh my God. Well, I don't even remember which one I pick. I'll have to look. But yeah.
I think that if I'm guessing, I think I'm guessing pretty damn accurate. But all right,
we'll see. Is it post-apocalyptic?
This is just me making a smooth guess.
Yes, it is. Death sport.
Death sport. Oh my God, it says in the year 3000. And on the cover, we got a guy in a loincloth.
Yes, but there's not going to be any turtlenecks, and it's the 70s, thank God. All right, no turtlenecks and no corduroy pants.
Oh boy, God, David Carradine. Him. Let's go do it. Oh no, my
Carradine.
God.
Carradine's outlawed in this house.
And it's going to be his. Let's get out. Let's get out.
All right.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good one. And peace.
Everybody that took LSD felt that they were undergoing enormous personal changes. They weren't the same person after having LSD. And there was a scientific study. It was done by a RAND scientist. And what he said was, even though all of these people said that they felt enormous changes, the personality test showed that they were largely the same person in every area but one. And this was called the Ways to Live scale. The Ways to Live scale indicated that one dose of LSD stimulated enormous changes, whereas the person taking the test might have said, it's important for me to get a corporate job, it's important for me to have a good car. After one dose of LSD, they were saying, I think maybe a contemplative lifestyle might be what I want to have. I think I'd like to travel before settling down. I think maybe I want to look for some spiritual value in my life. Things totally changed around.
Hey, kiddies, gather around. The man with the goodies is here. Here's a little beauty for me to Udy. Just inhale and sniff. It is aeroplane glue. Oh, one whiff, man.
Isn't it true that sniffing glue can damage your liver and kidneys?
Cool it, kid. Look here.
amphetamines, bennies, dexies, meth.
They say amphetamines can cause something like schizophrenia.
Schizophrenia. In most cases, it does not last. Cool it, kid. Now for the barbs. Neato, nice, he's a downer.
Withdrawal from barbiturates can cause convulsions.
Will you convulse yourself out of here? Grass. Anything wrong with pot?
They're not sure yet. They just started studying about it.
Worry wart. Dig, everybody. LSD.
Bad trips and a chance of chromosome damage.
How do you know you got
everything
chromosomes?
You got there can hurt you, can't it?
Sure, kid. Why do you think they call it dope? Hey, where's everybody going?